a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, my friend, hello. Oh, sorry, wrong show. Hi, it's the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. This week, the third Thursday of the month, like every third Thursday, we have third Thursday. Aren't you thirsty to know what's going on in the planet day? Also known as planetary influences. And our Dr. Kevin Show astrologer, Rob Stewart, from innercenterastrology.com, will be here to give us the astrological weather forecast, as he does on this third Thursday, so you'll know what's going on in the skies. Remember, never give your power away to astrology. Just use it as more information with which to make better decisions. As we talk about the upcoming movement, if you have your chart, make sure you take it out so you can see how this will directly impact you. If you want to call in, you can do so at 202-570-7057. You can call in and you can ask Rob or myself any kind of questions you'd like. But this is the astrology show, so we try to make sure that they tend to be astrologically based. Like, how do you kill that demon, Mercury retrograde, or, you know, something along those lines. And Rob and I'll do our best to answer those questions. If you don't have your chart done, or you've done one of those freebie charts online that give you all sorts of stuff that doesn't make sense to you, and you look at it and your eyes cross as you try to figure out what all of those squiggly things mean, then you might want to go to innercenterastrology.com, reach out to Rob, have actually a real professional chart done, and Rob will help educate you on how your astrology chart is a pathway of your life journey. It's like getting a treasure map of who you are and what you're here to do. And it tells you places, you know, I said a treasure map, but I think when we think of astrology, it's almost more like one of those scavenger hunts, because if you pay attention to your birth chart, your progress chart, your solar return, and what's going on in the skies, then you're going to pick up little bits and pieces of treasure your whole life long that you can use to live your most best empowered life. Right, Rob?
That's right. That's right. Thanks for having me again, Dr. Kevin.
You know, always our pleasure to have you here on the Dr. Kevin Show. I am going to do what is always a minor miracle, which is shut up, and let you tell us what's going on astrologically, and I'll chime in along the way, which is a nice way of saying I'll butt in. Go ahead.
Right on. Well, in the show, and I love the way you always talk about, you know, the power's in your hands. And, you know, astrology is a helpful tool to help understand some of the energies and themes that are unfolding here in life, but never give your power away to anything. You know, astrology should never feel disempowering. And if anything is ever disempowering, you know, there's been a miscommunication or a misinterpretation or a misunderstanding. So, you know, for the listeners, always keep that in mind. Now, as the sun is moving through the sky, or any of these planets are moving through the sky, they are amongst a backdrop of constellations. And the sun is just about to enter Pisces on February 19th. And as the sun is moving through the constellations, it's shining light on different areas of life. and to really know where in your specific life it's shining light on, so to speak, you need your birth chart. And that's something, you know, Dr. Kevin mentioned that when you relate your birth chart to the current transits, it can shine light on many areas of life where there's opportunities for self-inquiry, bringing awareness, identifying old patterns, and breaking through some old self-concepts and limiting beliefs. And that's the way I see astrology. Now, the sun's about to enter Pisces. Now, the sun was in Capricorn a few months ago, December and January. And as the sun's moving through Capricorn, the light was being shined in our life of, you know, what are we bringing to the world? In what ways are we maturing? How are we being realistic and practical? And building and maintaining structures in our life. That's a real Capricorn 10th house energy. And then as the sun moved in Aquarius, the energy of Aquarius is to shift and move society in a new direction, in a progressive way of leaving old structures behind and shifting it and moving in innovative ways, pushing the envelope and critically thinking in a inventive and scientific way. And now with the sun entering Pisces now, the next step in the astrological cycle is about merging and blending, you know, shedding these old self-identifying ego structures that we have and blending and dissolving this, any old ego structures in our life. And this is a sort of an ongoing process that we go through in many, every year. And so over the next month, from February 19th into mid-late March, there's this energy of dissolving this sort of sense of self of which sometimes can be experienced as throwing your hands up in the air or like having to like, oh gosh, you know, I have to surrender. That sort of the idea of surrender to a higher power is sort of a part of the theme of Pisces. And the remembering that we're all connected to this oneness or this all things, that idea that we're all interconnected is a real Piscean type of energy. Do you have anything to add?
Well, I'm going to add something and I'm going to ask you a question because I want our listeners to actually hear the power of application. Because, you know, astrology applied is where it's really in its glory. And when a lot of times when we talk astrology, it is almost like a layer outside of ourselves if we don't understand our chart, because we can't actually apply it. Does that make sense?
Right.
So my first thing is I also looked at Pisces is a time when, if you're more intuitive, more empathetic, that's likely to show up in wherever Pisces is. Like, if Pisces is going to stimulate your connection to the unconscious, to the spiritual world in a way, and it may be a time that brings up some past life stuff. But it's also a time where you have to be careful, because it's a time when you are more vulnerable to fall to your addictions. There is, during that time of Pisces, because it stirs so much stuff up underneath, that's a time when people that may struggle with addictions find that the struggle gets a little more tangible, or it's a little bit more that it's during the time of Pisces. If addiction is an issue in your life, always be prepared to ask for extra support. And always understand that this stuff that's coming up, if you can just take a step back from it, look at it, and kind of let it be a teacher to you, you can push through and move beyond it. And before you know it, time of, you know, it's only a month. Does all that make sense when I say that, Rob?
Yeah, 100%. You know, Pisces is all about connecting with the unseen realms and, you know, having a foot in this, you know, this three-dimensional existence and a foot in the other realms, really, you know, that we're spirit and having a human experience type of thing. And in Pisces, some of the, you know, everything has a positive manifestation and a negative, you know, not a negative, I don't like using those types of words, but a
more
lower
challenging
echelon. Challenging manifestations of Pisces is using other substances to connect to or dissolve that sense of self and connect with other realms. You know, so the idea of addictions, you know, escapism, all those types of things are certainly Piscean themes. And so I think it's a very good, valid point to be mindful of any addictions or escapist tendencies over this next month. It's sort of shining light on those areas of our life and what are healthier ways to dissolve this or be less focused on this story, this ego story that we have in our own life, and find ways of transcending that without, you know, the classic type of escapism or mind-numbing behavior that we do to get away from it all.
So now I'm going to give you a chance to apply. So this sun immediately hits my first degree Chiron retrograde in Pisces, and then it's going to hit my south node retrograde in Pisces, and it's going to go from halfway through my third to halfway through my fourth. So this is it. So because I have a Chiron, because I have my south node, the sun hits both of those. This is right out of my natal chart, and it spends half the time in the third house and half the time in the fourth house. Pretty close. How does the sun in Pisces, how do you apply that to tell me what to be aware of when I threw the extra cards on the table, so to speak?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I just pulled up your chart, and, you know, the sun, it's in the third house, so it'd be conjunct Chiron and Pisces at the first degree. And so what this is saying is that early in this, you know, shortly after February 19th or so, the sun is shining light on this Chiron, this, as I interpret it, as a inner child sensitivity to your extrasensory perception, Pisces in the third house, observing, taking in information from the unseen realms, Chiron in Pisces in the third, and it's shining light on that, and it can cause you know, navigating that with regards to communicating your feelings and deeper relationships, eighth house, because the Chiron's making a quincunx to Mercury in the eighth in Leo. So with the sun lighting up this wounded healer asteroid in the third house, it's bringing up themes related to your communication, relating to your intuition, and how to communicate that in deeper partnerships and relationships of all kinds. And as the sun continues into March through Pisces and enters your fourth house, it's bringing, you know, again, you know, shining light in your inner life, your home, your family, particularly when it's conjunct the south node of the moon, of course, but shining light on, what is self? You know, how do you define self within your home, within your family of origin? There might be areas where you're being asked to, you know, see beyond self and take a higher perspective, a higher view related to, you know, a spiritual view, so to speak, related to home, family, family of upbringing, your family of origin, but also your inner emotional landscape and feeling into that and, you know, being, feeling into those deeper areas of life, the inner life.
And because it's the salt node, it is going to give me an opportunity to release some of those, I would think.
That's right. You know, the south node of the moon represents our past life conditioning, our past life experiences. And it's an area of life where we're being asked to be unattached, to let go of attachment to that. And so the sun lighting up your fourth house south node in Pisces, maybe there's some old things that you're being asked to let go of, release attachment to, Pisces, being aloof, related to family or home or your inner life, or letting go of attachment to any, feeling of overwhelmed or powerlessness. That can be a theme in Pisces, of letting go of any areas of feeling powerlessness and any fears of letting go, let God type of themes, that surrendering to a higher power.
And for a lot of people, fourth house they also represent mother energy. So, we can move on. There's our break. We'll move on. We'll be on a different subject when you come back. I just wanted the audience to see what applied looked like. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The AMI Awards and the AMI Woods Hall of Fame are the Conscious Media Awards that aim to recognize and honor the best luminary minds, influencers, and changemakers of the conscious, spiritual, holistic, and indie communities. The AMI Conscious Media Awards are open to the participation of all creators, individuals, and visionary leaders who can classify their original work and their projects as part of the spiritually conscious genre. Learn more about the AMIs and how to participate in it at AMIs.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. For all my listeners out there, before we get back to the astrology, the Omis. .com. Go there and put me up for an OMI. I don't know why I'm not up for an OMI. Go put me up for an OMI. Listeners, go. OMI.com. Rob. So, I think we have plummeted the depths, no pun intended, of Pisces. An impossible thing to do. Son, so what else is going on?
Yeah, okay. So, the next, around the time that Sun enters Pisces, on February 20th, Venus enters Aries. And Venus is what we attract to ourselves. It's about relationships. It's about our value system. And so with Venus entering Aries on February 20th, there's this sort of new beginning in relationships in your life. You know, more, there can be like, you know, if there can be more independence, more assertion, bringing more courage into your relationships and that type of thing. But it's a new beginning. It's sort of springtime in your areas of relationships. And, you know, in existing relationships, that means new beginnings, new levels, new, you know, the continuous cycles within a relationship. This is indicating a new cycle that's beginning. And, you know, one thing to be mindful is there can be defensive, you know, with Aries, it can bring up some nervousness at times. It can bring up defensiveness, fieriness. You know, sexual type of energies as well in Venus and Aries. So these are all things to keep in mind over the next month or so that Venus is transiting through Aries.
Hey, you know, when Venus and Aries, Venus is in Aries, she's one hot mama.
Yeah.
It can be the energy of a desire to fully commit into a passion of something that you value. It doesn't always, right. It's not always sexual. It's not always about another person. You know, Venus is the goddess of the arts and, you know, and creativity. And I mean, like in a sense of, mm-hmm. of beauty. And so Venus in Aries is a time when somebody may say, hey, you know what? I want to do a complete makeover. It's time to completely change the wardrobe or color my hair or, you know, go do something where starting something new can oftentimes be doing something that you're passionate about or gives you a feeling of self, of sense or value. Does that make sense, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. You know, Venus is, as you know, the ruler of both Libra and Taurus, and it has multiple meanings and multiple representations. And so absolutely, it's a great, great point. This isn't all relationship new beginnings. It's, you know, what do you value? What do you... all those things that you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a time when you can find yourself ready to pull the trigger about something you feel impassioned about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good, it's a good point. And, you know, so on March 3rd, we have Mercury entering Pisces. And Mercury in Pisces is sort of, you know, it's a wonderful time for meditation and for floating through the clouds. It's sort of a head in the clouds period of time, astrologically speaking, where, you know, it's sort of, you know, sometimes when we find stillness and we sit quietly, sometimes there can be those eureka moments. You know, that's the type of Mercury in Pisces. It's not about, Mercury in Pisces isn't really, its strengths aren't hammering out the logic and doing all the data crunching and things like that. Mercury in Pisces is more intuitively finding guidance in the quietness and the stillness beyond self type of thing. Not that anyone should make their decisions, rely on that for their decisions, but this is just speaks to the archetype of Mercury in Pisces. And Mercury will be there for, I think it's about, I think it's about 2 weeks. Do you have anything to add with Mercury in Pisces?
Well, Mercury in Pisces to me is always the time when you're more open to otherworldly, other spiritual communication. Your intuition may be more on fire, especially if you're somebody who does mediumship or does channeling or things like this. I also think that you're more likely to get more spiritual or intuitive type dreams when Mercury is in Pisces. Because Mercury flies into the unconscious, into the world in between worlds, into the past lives. The communicator is out there in all of this deep, fluffy, foggy, spiritual, Neptunian energy. And so it can definitely show up through psychic abilities and dreams. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, great point. And, you know, we also have Saturn moving into Pisces on March 7th. Mercury will be in Pisces for about 2 weeks, but Saturn entering Pisces, it'll be there for a good period of time. I'll have to look to see exactly how long. But Saturn brings the need for maturity and reality. It's sort of like, you know, bringing reality and maturity into our intuitive navigating. You know, it's like, okay, now the rubber hits the road with regards to our need for dissolving any sense of separateness at times. Of course, you know, we all have ego, and that's a part of our human journey, is having an ego and navigating that and this sense of separateness and things. But of course, with Saturn entering Pisces, sometimes, you know, Saturn brings with it the need for maturity, the hardships of this three-dimensional world. And with Saturn in Pisces, there's something about, you know, bringing more maturity to our understanding that we are separate yet one, that we're all part of the same ocean of life in this world, that we all are swimming through the same waters, and this interconnectedness that we all share. Saturn is bringing sort of the need for maturity in our lives, in that area of life, and the and all that. And let me check to see how long Saturn there. Let's see. Saturn is a slow moving planet, and it takes a long time for it to transit a sign. Let's see, and this will be there for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's about 2.5-3 years. Yeah.
Let's see here. Right. Okay. So yeah, through midway through 2025. And this is a really, it's an interesting thing because, I don't know if you have any, do you have any thoughts on Saturn and Pisces that you wanted to touch on, Dr. Kevin?
Absolutely. Saturn in Pisces can be a time where somebody either really succeeds and solidifies a spiritual business or cashes out. And I look at the Saturn giving form and structure. I also look at it because it's, you know, connected with Capricorn. And, you know, a lot of times people in spiritual businesses don't feel like they have to pay attention to the business of spiritual business. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, I've had a full-time spiritual business, Rob, for 33 years now. And it's had its ups and downs, but it is a real viable IRS certified, takes my money every year out of my pocket business, because I make money every year. So, of course, it takes it out of my pocket. But I treat it like a business. And there's been a long tradition of spiritual people playing kind of sort of at business, but thinking like, well, I'm doing spiritual work, everybody else should take care of it, which is the same like illusion that artists have. Like, I get to be dreamy and checked out and not have to be practical. And I feel like that when this period coming up is putting the spiritual world, people doing spiritual work, I think this is the time when they go unnoticed. I think that when Saturn is in Scorpio, and I think it when Saturn is in Pisces, that those are the two signs, not as much in, as in Cancer, but I think those are the two times that if you are running or called to run or think you want to launch a spiritual business, that this is the time when your mettle gets tested and you actually have the opportunity to make something that can last. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a great, great example. I would say also not only in spiritual business, but everyone's spiritual practice. You know, I think over this next 2.5 years, it's time to, our spiritual practice will be tested in terms of, is it working? You know, is it practical? You use the word practical. Productive, getting somewhere in your spiritual journey. And I find that very interesting because, you know, over the next couple of years, there's a very interesting Pluto transit that we're all moving through, and which brings shakeups and burns away some old things. And I wanted to chat about that, but I don't know if you had more regarding the Saturn and Pisces thing. I just wanted to check with you.
No. I've said my piece. You know, show up and make it a business, or get out of the way for the people who want to.
Right. Well, so this other transit that we're moving through is a Pluto transit, where Pluto will be squaring the north and south nodes of the moon. And Pluto's also going to be, or is currently at, 29 degrees Capricorn. And 29 degrees of any sign is it's called an aneritic degree, and it's this sort of final degree where there's things are about to change, where there's transformation. And in Capricorn, and we talked about you talked about Capricorn earlier, Dr. Kevin. That's about authority structures, you know, the things we've built in society, the what authority means, being responsible, mature, productive. But it's a sort of authority structures in our world. And at 29 degrees Capricorn, there's something about some transformation that's occurring. And obviously we've been seeing, you know, this area of life over the last few years, obviously have been very tested, and there's lots of transformation occurring in that area of life. And just even, you know, related to those themes. And now Pluto will be squaring the north and south node of the moon as well, starting from March 11th through December 9th of this year. And whenever a planet is squaring the north and south node of the moon, it's an opportunity to make new choices, to make new changes. In evolutionary astrology, when a planet squares the north and south node of the moon, there's something from a past life, according to the system, that is remaining to make, it's unresolved. There's something to resolve, some new empowerment that can be taken, some new choices, new behaviors, new changes can be made. And with Pluto, it can relate to some really challenging experiences. And so, you know, with Pluto at 29 degrees, I feel like there's certainly changes that we're moving through, through which Pluto is going to enter Aquarius. And, you know, I was looking back, with Pluto transiting Aquarius and transiting these different signs, Pluto always brings up some old fears and some old anxieties, really. And let's see here. You know, Pluto's been transiting Capricorn since 2008. And with that, it's been exposing, of course, some power struggles and institutions, authorities, you know, the idea of control and, you know, look at the president, you know, the things related to presidents and power struggles and authority and what that means, and surfacing and bringing to surface things that are changing and need transformation and that burning away. When Pluto's entering Aquarius, Aquarius is related to many things, of course, but technology is a major one. And so over the next 20 years, as Pluto's transiting Aquarius, there's massive change in technology, and perhaps exposing some power struggles related to technology, fears related to technology, just as it's been exposing some fears related to authority and maturity over the past 20 years. So there's much more to talk on this, but I want to check in with you, Dr. Kevin.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things is we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times Radio. I am here with Rob Stewart from innercenterastrology.com. If you've never had a real professional astrology reading, please go to innercenterastrology.com, book your reading with Rob, get your chart, and then once a month, tune in here to the Dr. Kevin Show. Find out what the astrological weather is, and you can even call in and say, hey, Rob, what does this mean to my chart? Because he's going to know who you are. Imagine that. But the best way to take advantage of this show that we have, again, every month, Planetary Influences, is to have your chart in front of you to know what it means and know how to apply what we're saying, because application is so important. Now, you were just talking about that Pluto is in that 29th degree before it goes over to Aquarius. And the pivotalness of that energy. And all I could hear in my head was that there is going to be some kind of death of structure during this period. That's just what I heard in my head. And I mean, that hearing that makes sense to me, but I'm not going to say that it's a straight astrological pull. But it feels like before Pluto moves into the, you know, you talk about Aquarius as tech, but Aquarius is also unpredictability. It's uniqueness. It's a higher vibration of humanity. It's moving humanity forward. It's trying to, embrace uniqueness, eccentricity, quirkiness, you know, all of these things. And as Pluto goes in to use those tools of Aquarius for its next transformation of humanity, and it leaves that energy, I think that you're going to find it's going to leave some things. It's going to put some finishing touches on stuff. On stuff that needs to go away. And I think Pluto's going to sweep it to the curb on its way out the door. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, they're interesting thoughts. And there's certainly, I would imagine, as when Pluto's at 29 degrees Capricorn, and that's from February 11th through March 23rd, so over the next month and a few days, I agree that I think there might be some shakeup in the institution, you know, some type of thing that's like, oh, wow, you know, that's a headline and news in some way related to control structures, authority, institutions, something along those lines, structure in some way. But again, you know, astrology is all about examples and archetypes, and there's no real, it's hard to predict how these things show up. But, you know, the idea of like some type of public exposure of power struggle, you know, that type of thing. Now Pluto will be going retrograde, so it'll dip back into Capricorn after poking its head into Aquarius. And so from June of this coming summer through the end of July, it will be again at 29 degrees Capricorn. So there's going to be a few transits through that 29th degree. This December 20th through January 21st of next year. So there's these three periods of 29 degrees Capricorn for Pluto to make these these transformations and these changes and the burning away of some old things, are during these three different periods, February 11th through March 23rd, June 11th through July 27th, and then December 20th of this year through January 21st of 2024.
Now, would you laugh at me if I told you that I have my fingers on those dates in the ephemeris because I was looking them up? And I was like, oh, he already did it. But one of the things is on January 20th, 19th and 20th and into the kind of the, like in that little area, though, we're going to feel it. We'll feel it even starting January 15th. You'll have Sun conjuncting.
Yeah.
That
Pluto entering Aquarius. Yeah. I had that in my notes as well. It's a very interesting alignment that where the Sun and Pluto next January, will be entering Aquarius both at the same time. And that's always a very interesting astrological indicator of things happening. So that is definitely a time, very interesting time. I certainly would, the way I would interpret that is that some technology, and of course there's fears related to technology. You look at the AI, ChatGPT, what is it called? I forgot what the whole thing's called, but you know, these new technologies of artificial intelligence that can write papers, that can pass this MBA exams. It's very fascinating, very intelligent AI that's going to change the world for better, for worse. And you know, the whole idea of education, what does it mean when you can use this program to write a very unique paper on a subject and not even know anything about it? So, you know, the fears that are associated with these technologies, and the sort of transformation that it brings to society, is certainly going to be a topic over this next year, and particularly on those dates that you highlighted, the January 19th, 20th, 21st time of next year. These might be, you know, major headlines and areas of transformation in society.
Now, this is going to be interesting, and we'll be chatting about this because we have three dates. So, and we're going to see which way it's going to go. And I say this is, but astrology is, it's very interpretive. And you can take any number of people who have studied astrology or understand it and show them a certain combination, and they can all see something kind of sort of alike, kind of sort of different, and sometimes very different. And none of them is wrong, because they're all potentials and possibilities. I look at this as this 29-degree Pluto is going to set the stage. And I see it like a wrecking ball. It just takes a whack-a-doodle shit out of some institution or organization or structure which no longer functions. It's going to come back, and it's going to get hit again in June, and then it's going to crumble in January. Because the technology piece, and it may be that Pluto goes in and actually brings awareness to a technology that is a death to an institution that needs to die. Because it swoops into Aquarius and it comes back. But I look at that 29th and I keep on, I don't know why, and it's just a different way to interpret it, and we'll have, the future will unfold. But I think that it's fascinating. And of course, 2024 is a presidential year. And we know that the country chart is in transformation right now. And so I feel like something earth-shattering in one of our institutions is going to bite the dust. I don't know.
And again, for the listeners, you know, astrology, it's an art, and all that, and use your own discernment. But I certainly agree to the extent of, you know, the idea of a public scandal, public corruption being exposed in some way would certainly be a 29th degree Pluto Capricorn type of thing. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It's, you know, fun to speculate, you know, these types of things. But in reality, who knows? And, you know, please use your own discernment. There's nothing definitive. Astrology is very qualitative type of art form. So, you know, use your own discernment.
So before we run out of time, what else do we have?
Yeah, let's see. So we also have, we have a new moon on February 20th, Pisces at 1 degrees. And this is a great, you know, new moons are a great time for setting intentions for the next 6 months. A new moon in Pisces is about dissolving any of those, you know, this idea of self, this ego structure that we have. A new moon in Pisces is a great time to help dissolve away some of that old heavy story that we carry known as ego, of this is who I am, this is, you know, these self concepts that can really create baggage, so to speak, in life. And so a new moon in Pisces is a great time to set intentions for your spiritual practice, for your meditation, for reconnecting with source, God, universe, goddess, whatever, you know, whatever word works. Do you have anything you want to say about that, that the new moon? I do want to say that the new moon is conjunct Saturn, which, like we talked about earlier, great point about the discipline in your spiritual practice, the discipline, the responsibilities, the dealing with real life concerns related to your spiritual practice, related to your spiritual business. Those are all relevant with this new moon in Pisces.
Well, and there is this, I think that combination screams to me, this is a wonderful time to commit or recommit or redo your spiritual practices, that this new moon is a great time, conjunct Saturn, to put spiritual practices back on the list, get them going, create them in a way that's a habit and a structure. That would be my only addition.
Right. Yeah. Nope. Great. Great advice. We have a full moon on March 7th in Virgo at 16 degrees Virgo, and a full moon in Virgo, with the sun in Pisces, the moon in Virgo, a full moon in Virgo. There's this sort of, with full moons, where it's a time of fruition, of letting go of what isn't working and hanging on to the fruits, and hanging on to what does work, but letting go of what doesn't, what isn't working. And in Virgo, there's this idea of, you know, what is it that you can control in life? What is it that you can't? You know, Byron Katie, the great spiritual teacher, she says there's three types of business in the world. There's your business, there's my business, and there's God's business. And we're only in charge of one of those, you know, my business. And, you know, the serenity prayer of, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept what I cannot change, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is a real mantra, I would say, for this full moon in Pisces, or Virgo, rather. You know, let go, let God, but hang on, you know, adjust the things that you can change, and navigating that all that. Do you have anything to add with that, Dr. Kevin?
Well, just, I think it's a time that you can say, whatever it is, how can I take it and make it a service to the world? I think the full moon in that Virgo across from that Pisces isn't just about allowing and leaning into, but, I mean, let's look at it. Virgo is I serve. I mean, it's how do I serve? How do I, in a practical way? So, you know, I just think of, I recently, in doing work with one of my clients, looked at a time period that was astrologically powerful, though, you know, astrology is not something, I mean, it's not my regular thing, but it works into my counseling and the work that I do. And I said, during this time period, every time you hit a bump, it's like, how can I turn this into something I can teach from? How can I turn this into something I can teach from? Don't focus on what the bump, what the inconvenience or the uncomfortableness or the obstacle of the bump is. Look at how you're going to take it and bring it to the world in a way in which you help the world, because you will survive the bump.
Right on.
And that, right on. That has some full moon Virgo energy for me. So
right on.
So anything else? I mean, I know at any point we're going to be hearing exit music, but was there anything you didn't get to?
That's all I got. That's all I got for this month.
And perfect. Rob, I will see you in a month. Thanks for joining us as always.
All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Bye.